Herzlich willkommen bei Ungeschminkt, dein Podcast mit echten Gesprächen mit starken Frauen. Ungeschminkt. Zum Inspirieren, Stärken und auch zum Weiterdenken. Weil so vieles in unserer Welt verschönert, retuschiert und unter den Teppich gekehrt wird. Ich bin Marianne Schnitzler. So schön, dass du da bist. I am so excited. I have a guest here today. It's my dear friend Sovia from Pakistan. We've been planning to speak here to record this podcast since 2 years, I think.
More than 2 years,
yeah.
I think. More than
and
two
I'm
years.
So grateful you're finally here and we finally do it. Please introduce yourself.
Okay, thank you, Marianne. My name is Sovia Khan. I'm from Pakistan, and it's been 6 years I'm living in Austria with my husband and with my 3 children. And yeah, that's it.
How do you like it? How is this different from living in Pakistan or where else you already lived?
Yes. Yes, it's a huge difference from Pakistan, definitely. I have been living here in Austria. I was in Qatar, Doha, for 2 years. And after that, we moved to Romania, Bucharest, to its capital. And there we lived almost for 4.5 to 5 years. And then from there, we moved to Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. And there we lived for a short term of a period of time. I think it was like 1.5 or 2 years, something like that in Abu Dhabi. And then from there, we moved here in Vienna. And since then, we are in Austria since then. Mm-hmm. And so it's been 6 years here. And it's culturally, obviously, different. Environment is different. Everything is different. But step by step, I have made a lot of great friends over here, like you. Mm-hmm. And it's a lovely journey, but it's very different from Pakistan. Definitely different. Mm. Yeah.
And people are completely open. They see you wearing your hair covered and they smile at you.
You mean the headscarf?
Yeah. Yeah.
No. It's a big no. The thing is over here, what I have noticed is that, because when you are covering your head, people around you, think that you are some kind of an alien or an evil person or, I don't know what you think about. They create a barrier around themselves not to communicate with you well and not to talk with you. So the thing is, generally in Europe, actually, the process of immigration when occurs, you know, people are migrating from Syria, from Afghanistan, from Iran, from here and there. So they think that you are not literate, you don't know anything, and you don't, and you represent, God forbid, an evil religion, which you call it Islam. Unfortunately, people think like that way. It's not like that. Look, what I can say is there is a line I always say when I make friends, that there are black sheeps in every religion. In every religion, there are black sheeps. I think you agree to
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So, and when you moved to another country, another culture, what if you are a practicing Muslim, which I am, which I call myself, if you really are a practicing Muslim, so you should be kind, humble, and open to others, to listen to others' opinion as well. So this is the main key when you communicate with other religions and the people around you, whatever religion they carry or whatever they are doing. this is what I taught to my three children. Mm-hmm. My son Hassan, he's 21. Sorry, he just turned 21, and then my daughter Mariam, she turned 19, and then my youngest son Yahya, he turned 16. Mm-hmm. So all three of them, I always taught them that if you really, really are a practicing Muslim, so you have to go back to your scripture, to go back to your book and look what it says. Mm-hmm. And this is what I told everyone around, which I made, you know, you can say multicultural friends from mm-hmm. every background. Mm-hmm. So we sometimes have a discussion, and I always told them that, look, go back to your scriptures. Either you are Catholic Christian, either you are a Muslim, or even you are a Jew from practicing Judaism you follow. Just go back to your books and look what they say when you communicate and you make friends, and how you deal with people. Mm-hmm. So main keys are be kind, be open-minded, and be humble, and talk with people, with respect.
Yes.
So this was the main key. And I'm really, really glad and really, really happy about it that three of my kids have friends from all over the world, from mm-hmm. different religion, from different backgrounds, and they respect their friends, and in return, their friends also respect them. It's mm-hmm. a two-way thing, mm-hmm. you know?
I remember when the first times we met. Yeah. I remember your son Hassan was then 16 or something.
Yes.
15, he was, 16. Yeah, he just started international school.
Yes, Danube International
and
School.
And we went for lunch or something, and you said, okay, I have to ask you something. The girls are smiling at him and they want to talk to him. And he asked me, what shall I do? And you didn't know what to do. And you asked me, like, is it normal? How should he react? What would you tell your kids to react?
Is the response?
What shall he do? And that shows you were very you are so interested. Like, how would you do it? How do you do it here in your culture? What shall he do? Can you smile back? Can you say hello? Can you talk to the girl?
Yeah.
And you always ask me. And I think the main problem is that mm-hmm. people think that maybe somebody covering the head, the hair, that they are not interested, which is not true. And that's why I want to talk to you here.
Yeah.
And I just read in a magazine last weekend that we always choose our friends who are similar to us.
Yes.
But we learn so
similar
much
interests.
More. Yeah. We learn so much more when we look over the border in other cultures. And you talked me so much about the Islam.
Yes.
And what I think, which is very interesting. And I mean, I don't need to change my religion, but I can take the things I like.
Yes.
Like, for example, you prayer. I asked you once about it.
Yes, I
remember. Because you told me once, like, that when your kids were small and everything was very stressful and you went for prayer, which was 5 times a day.
Yeah.
That everything which seemed to be very hard or difficult afterwards relaxed. And it was not so hard any longer.
Yeah.
And I thought that's something we should take. Like, I mean, even if we don't pray, if we do a meditation or something.
Yeah.
And that is so much better than just, you know, keeping in your, doing always the same.
Yes. Yes. I remember that. And I remember when you visited me and when I was living in 13th district, I remember, Marianne, and you came with the freshly home-baked sourdough bread. You made it for me with the strawberry jam in your hand, and you come to my place. And we were just having, you know, normal chit-chat and having a coffee with the delicious bread. And then I remember it was time for my prayer, mm-hmm. Afternoon prayer. And I just told you that I can pray in front of you. Just give me 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the moment. I still remember that I just quickly prayed in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the only moment I am trying to say is that I never push you or never try to force my religion or my practices on you.
Mm-hmm.
right? Apart from similar interests, I never did that.
Never.
So what happened was, what I'm trying to say here is, lead by example, you know? Wherever you live, lead by example. And what you do is, then after that prayer, I still remember when I finished my prayers within 5-6 minutes, and then you asked me that, what did you just did, Sobia? What did you just did? I told you that this is the way I pray. Because you were in tears. And why you were in tears? Because you said that I feel a sense of huge calmness inside me. Whatever action you just did in front of me, I never felt that. That calmness in my heart, you know, the whatever peace you felt by just looking at me while I was praying, right? So that was the moment I thought to myself that she's one of my best friend over here, and from a different religion, different culture, and you asked me then what was this, and that was the opening door of a communication. Then I told you that this is in our religion and this is what we do 5 times in a day. And then you asked me that, can I read your book with the translation if it's English? I said yes. And I still remember on that year, I think it was 2 years back, I went to Pakistan and then I bought a...
I have it here.
Yes, I bought a Quran, a copy of Quran for you with the English translation.
Yeah.
And you said yes. You know, it's just a simple thing. Just lead a simple example, not to go into complicated things. Yeah. And first, be friends with kindness and humbleness and respect of each other. Mm-hmm. And same is the case with you, Miriam. It's not that we eat only halal meat.
Yes.
You know, the chicken and the meat. Yes. And it's just that you respect it so much because I'm your friend and I was always visiting your place, your house. And you go out of your way to buy a halal chicken and meat just for me, to cook a meal for me,
yes,
to a halal shop. And you asked me the address. And I really, really touched by this simple gesture of yours. But you went out of your way, you know, just to make me feel comfortable at your house so I can eat properly at your house. So this is a huge thing for me. And this is you earned a huge respect as a friend, you know. So like I said before, it's a two-way thing. You know, so this is the main key. If we're living in a country with you have an opportunity to make multicultural friends and from different religious background, just don't force your religion on anyone. Let's lead by example and stay kind and humble. And respect.
Just and give learn respect. What you can take for yourself.
The good stuff.
Yeah, take it. Just take
the good
it.
Stuff from each other. Yeah,
I remember. I mean, I know you. I mean, the people are not seeing you right now, but you're always very active and busy. You have lots of energy.
Yes.
You have lots of energy. And the time you said where you prayed, I was at your house. You were running around all the time and you want another cookie and, oh, your tea is cold. Let's put it in the microwave and running.
Yeah.
And lots of energy and joy. Lots of joy. You always are very joyful. And then you sit down for the prayer and I feel the energy change in the room. I feel it. I now get goosebumps because I still remember how the energy shifted. And when I think, but yes, you practice. Can I say practice?
Yes.
You do it since you're 10, 12 years. And when
childhood.
And I'm interested, for example, in Buddhism.
Yeah.
And when I see it's like a monk, you do it. Like a monk there. Yeah. I mean, and look at our people here who want to meditate because they know taking back the senses and sitting down and just shutting down the system.
Yeah.
We have such a hard time.
Yeah.
We have a hard time. We can't reset our system during the day because we cannot do what you can do. Yes. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. We sit, we then sit down and then, oh, I have to clean the kitchen. I have to buy some more bread or what are the kids doing right now? We cannot do it.
Yes.
And you can just shut down and you do your prayers and then this you're a new person afterwards.
This is the power of prayers, I can say, because this is something, as you said, that we started very early since our childhood, like 10.
Yes.
From 7 onwards, you can say we start to learn the words of the prayers, which we utter in our 5 times daily what we read. But at the age of 10, you learn all of it by heart. And since then, we start to pray a little. You know, actually, prayer is direct what we believe. I'm just telling you that. Mm-hmm. What we believe as a Muslim is to connect directly to Allah, to God, which you... And in other words, you say, our creator, you can say. Mm-hmm. So this is the way we directly connect to our creator without having a second or third barrier in between us. Mm-hmm. It's just between you and your creator.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the main key, that will make you more peaceful and calm. And the words we utter in our 5 times prayers is actually an Arabic words from the Quran and also from the Sunnah. Sunnah is actually our last prophet, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the words he taught us as well, you know, to Muslims. And since then, from the past 1400 years, we are, every Muslim around the world is uttering that words, you know, in that 5 times prayers.
Yeah, I was wondering once if I should just, I mean, there must be during those 5 times a day when so many people do prayers, should be a different energy. And I wanted to try, but I never did. To just use those times for meditation.
Yes.
You know, to see if it's different, if I go directly the times when so many people pray worldwide.
Yes, yes.
But I will try it.
Inshallah.
But tell me a little bit more. How did you grow up? How comes that you said in how many countries you already lived?
Yeah.
How comes that you're so open and moving and living in other countries? How did you grow up? How was your childhood?
Okay.
Let's go back.
That's interesting.
Do you want to share?
Why not? Yes. The thing is, in Pakistan, we have huge families around us. And I have a wonderful childhood, obviously, but lots of, you know, people around you, lots of cousins and grandparents, and apart from our own parents, mother and father. So we have involvement of everyone in our household. But anyway, we have a very lovely childhood, definitely. But I would say my household has been always very open. Since some people think we are from a very backward culture where girls don't have some kind of say in their marriages or what they want to study or whatever they want to do, they are restricted to that. They could not study this, they don't marry that. No, that's not the case. This is totally a misconception. I am very sorry to say, created by different kinds of medias around us. Mm-hmm. If you see the news channels, you can never communicate to different religion, and you can never make friends from different religion and culture. Mm-hmm. If you just follow the news around you, that majority of them is false news, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway, coming back to that, so our household was very open.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever girls want to choose to study, whatever activities they want to do. Yes, we have certain limitations before getting married, but that is not. But that's nothing to do with the culture. That's to do with our religion.
Mm-hmm.
We have some rules. We have to live by the book, you mm-hmm. can say. And this is what happened. So when I was growing up in a school, I have been never told by my parents that this subject you can study, this you cannot. No, mm-hmm. never. Then when I went to college did my graduation, I have been told once that you cannot, study this subject and you
what
cannot.
What did you study? I have no idea.
bachelor's in economic and statistics.
Okay.
Yes, and I have studied psychology as well mm-hmm. for first and second year of my college. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so bachelor's, BA I did. BA you can say. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yes, I did this. And after that, after my graduation, right after my graduation, I did 1 year of my Quranic studies. Mm-hmm. Also, not forced by anyone else. It was my decision to study the book deeply, mm-hmm. what's it's written. I was curious because, to be very honest, how I was interested to, learn Quran word by word and to study it is coming... you can say back, if I give my example of my mother, mm-hmm. she was the one actually in our household who started reading Quran, mm-hmm. word by word, understanding Quran.
And your grandparents didn't?
They do. Look, everyone is reading Quran, only the Arabic text, mm-hmm. but not the meaning, literal meaning. What's the meaning of that?
I understand.
You understand
okay.
what I'm saying?
Yes, yes, yes.
So my mother was...
Some are just reading and your mother understood.
Understand with the meanings of the
Quran. The meanings, really reading.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So she was the one who started it. And... she was literally an example for us, me and my sister. We are three siblings. I'm the eldest one. Then I have my sister. And then the youngest one is my brother. Mm-hmm. So she started first. And she never forced herself what she's studying mm-hmm. To me and to my sister that, no, you have to do this. This is the rule. You have to cover this. You have to cover this. You don't. No, she never. And I was then started very, curious about it, that what my mom is studying, she is never, imposing mm-hmm. This religion on me. Mm-hmm. She's deeply studying everything, By the way, from my one of my sister-in-law, like Omar's eldest brother, wife, she was the teacher of my mom. Yes, for the Quran. And from her, she started learning.
Okay.
Yeah, at first. So it's a very interesting turn of events after that. Anyway, so then I got interested and then I got admission to one of the institute in Quran, Quranic education. It's in Islamabad. So then I started learning and it was totally my choice. It was a 1 year course. And then word by word, I understand it. I'm not saying I'm following everything what's written there, but we are trying as a family, me and my husband and my children, we are trying our best to live our lives by the book, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what I just quote one thing, what our creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said in the Quran, that I don't need perfection from you. Mm-hmm. I just need the struggle and the trying and the efforts mm-hmm. from mm-hmm. you, that you did your best. Mm-hmm. So we are human beings. We cannot be angels, Mm-hmm. So it's a long process until the last day will come. Mm-hmm. So it's a long process. It's everyday learning. Mm-hmm. So we mm-hmm. are human. We make a lot of mistakes. I am no angel. Everyone around my family, if they are practicing Muslim, we are practicing Muslim, alhamdulillah. But many mistakes. And it's just a continuous process, you can mm-hmm. say. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's for everybody, Every yeah. day we live our best and then maybe we try better the next day, We do. We make mistakes yes. in general in life.
In general, yeah.
It's normal. It's
every
normal.
Day, every day.
Every day, yeah. every day, yes.
So this religion treats us as a human you know, the best part of this religion, if you ask me, obviously, that's a humanly possible efforts. So, yes, this is what I'll say. And about friend making friends, I would, going back to this, that I always said that just don't go back to your preaching leaders or preaching rabbis or preaching priests or whatever on, in our religion also. Don't just go to them to ask their opinion. No, just go to your books, the context, the original context of the books, and you know, read that, that the common grounds of every religion is to respect the human beings and to kind to each other and be polite to each other. This is the main common grounds. So if you want to be open and you, if you want to be, if you want to create an easy communication between every religion. So this is the key, actually.
Yeah, that's, but it's a key where human, you know, it's the respect and be kind with each other, right? Yes. I mean, it's just the base for everything. It's the most important.
But unfortunately, unfortunately, one, you know, based on the news around you and some of few of the examples, as I said, there are black sheeps in every religion. People pick that up and label one religion. What's, whatever is happening around, bad happening around the world is labeled to one religion, and that's Islam, you know. Unfortunately,
yeah,
that's sad.
It's
really sad. And if you dig into it, there are in every religion, there are bad and good.
I know.
We were just talking about that, you know.
And would you like to share how you met your husband and how your grandparents reacted?
No. yes. I have been very, I would say, I call myself a very, very lucky person in that area of my life. And very fortunate and very blessed from Allah that I have met my husband, Umar. And he is a gem of a person. And I have, I should say that he's the best thing happened in my life. So the past 22 years, obviously every marriage has ups and downs and disagreements, but it was... It was always, always my husband has been my biggest support, whatever I did after getting married. And up till now, he always pushes me to do the best of my ability. What if I want to study more, if I want to active in different kind of sports, as you know, how active I am doing everything, you know what I'm doing. And yes, he's a wonderful, wonderful man. And how I met him, as I have told you before, we never date, obviously, you know, or something like that. What happened was, like I told you, that my mom's Quran teacher was my sister-in-law, Omar's eldest brother's wife.
Okay, I don't understand, but somehow.
It's a long, like Omar's eldest brother.
Yeah.
His wife.
Okay.
His wife. She was my mother's Quran teacher.
Okay,
you know, as I've told you.
Yes.
So through her, you know, they have a certain, they were married people group who were learning Quranic education from her, you know, from my sister-in-law. And there they came to talking, you know, all the friends and everything. And then, you know, my sister-in-law just happened to discuss Omar is the youngest brother-in-law. So she says, oh, we are finding a girl from brother-in-law and this, and this, and this. And then one of my mom's friends, she said, oh, why don't you tell her that your daughter has all or some of the qualities what they are looking for. I don't want to praise myself, but oh my God, it's embarrassing. But she told my sister-in-law, she told in journal that, oh yeah, my brother-in-law, Omar, they are looking for a tall girl or or fear or something like these few qualities. I don't want to get into the deep. It's very embarrassing to praise myself. Anyway, so...
That's so sweet.
This is some things. And then one of my mom's friends said, you know, you should tell her. Anyway, then they got to talking, and then this is something happened between families, and I had no clue at that time, because I was studying my Quran course in Islamabad. Yeah, mm-hmm. You know, so they were living in Rawalpindi. Pindi and Islamabad is like a twin cities.
Mm-hmm.
So I was living with my grandparents for that 1 year only to study the Quranic studies. So anyway, then I came back and to my place. My mom told me this happened. And by the way, it was not very long. Within 3 months, we got married. But yeah, we that was very sweet, because our families were very open. My grandparents, my in-laws, they're sweetest in-laws I have got. All of his brothers and sister-in-laws, my mother-in-law and my father-in-law, unfortunately, they passed away just a few years back. But they were lovely, extremely lovely people, very open. And yes, we talk, sometimes before getting married. But we never dated or something like that. But... I have been lucky in this regard.
But only 3 months
between. Yes,
so you
three
just,
months.
I
three
mean,
months.
You decided, and then you planned like a week, and then you planned for 2.5 months of wedding.
It was like in April. I think April, we our families got to talk to each other, and, you know, we said yes, and they said yes. You know how it works. So in April, and then in July... In July we got married.
But you're very lucky.
Alhamdulillah.
And I know how he looks at you and how he treats
you. You know Omar very well. Yeah. You know it. So now this coming July, it will be 23 years of our marriage. Yes.
And he moved around as expat. The first time you moved out of Pakistan?
Yeah.
He said, okay, now we're going to be expats in Qatar was the first time?
Yeah, Qatar.
You said, yay, I'm leaving my home, I'm leaving my family. How was it for you to move with him?
No, it was actually, it was not like that. We haven't planned that, to be very honest, to move out of the country and do the job. Omar, you know, started doing job in another country. We haven't thought about it. Why? Because in Pakistan, Omar's job was really very good. It was Angro. It was Angro Fertilizers. It was a fertilizer company. Omar is a mechanical engineer, and he was doing very well in that company. And he was, you know, progressing very well. Mm-hmm. So I had 3 children at that time, very young age, one after the other, Hassan, Mariam, and then Yahya. And it was a gated community. I had every facility inside, and I was very happy. But what happened was, when my third child was born, he was born with a severe allergy. Yeah, because Omar was really... He had a very strong asthma when he was a child. So it was inherited. My third child inherited more of this asthma. So for his environment to be changed a bit, his specialist suggested us that you should change his environment.
Okay.
So first we actually, from that area, it was near Karachi. It's a big city, you say. So it's near Karachi, it's the interior Sindh area. It was Dargi, actually. It's a different, difficult word for you to pronounce.
I will not
you cannot
try.
Pronounce it.
I will
it.
Not try.
Yes. So I was there. I lived there for 7.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then we moved to change his environment. We moved to Lahore. Mm-hmm. Another city of Pakistan.
Mm-hmm.
We lived there for 1.5. We stayed there for 1.5 years. Same company, but different plant. Omar used to go there for a job.
And just for your child, Mark.
Yes, third one. For his environment to change, you know. Yeah. So it's been like 1.5 years. 1.5 years we lived in Lahore, another city. And from there, The opportunity occurs, you know, he just, you know how it is for everyone in a professional life. If you are an engineer or banker, whatever, you look for opportunities. So then one opportunity came from Qatar, Doha. So he applied and he got a call one after the other, and things, you know, get into, you know, it was easily one after the other. So it was not really planned. Mm-hmm. So, but when we moved out of the country, I think it's really what now I think after 14, 15 years, mm-hmm. It was a wonderful experience, I would say. Why? Because my children learned how to coexist mm-hmm. with respect and with kindness mm-hmm. and to accept the differences mm-hmm. people mm-hmm. living around you. Mm-hmm. This was the biggest achievement which I think mm-hmm. We got by living abroad.
Yeah.
Yes, obviously, yes. Definitely you miss your families.
Yes.
You want to go back to meet your parents, grandparents, and a lot happened when you are living here, you know, mm-hmm. alone and back your family. Definitely you miss them. But this was the biggest achievement, I think, you know, living in an international community gives you different perspective, and mm-hmm. you have a very open mind for every opinion, every, mm-hmm. you know, it's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm glad we did that. And what in the end, I should say, Allah gave us this opportunity.
And now your kids are getting older. You just bought a house outside of Vienna. You just moved.
And it's the another city.
Now it's more the time for yourself again.
Yes, finally.
Finally. And we're thinking about, or you're thinking about getting maybe self-employed, right?
Yes, I am.
Something.
Yes, I am planning now because, you know, my two of the elder ones, they are in university. And the third one is also, he's 16, adult, is going to be last 2 years of his IB. Mm-hmm. So yes, I am planning a lot of stuff. let's see what happens. A lot of stuff that I will do that. Let's see.
So yes. If you're living close to Vienna,
yes,
or in Vienna, or want to travel,
yeah,
and want to learn how to cook the Pakistan kitchen. How do you say kitchen or cuisine?
Cuisine. Pakistani cuisine. Yeah. I love to cook. I love to bake. You know that.
Send me an email. I will connect you.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. No, I have a lot of planning in this
regard. Because your food is so
thank you
good.
So much.
I remember we two met when 2019.
It was in Abu Dhabi.
Just before you moved to Vienna.
Yeah.
We have a common friend. Yeah. And she told you, my friend
we first
from
met
Vienna,
in Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, in Abu Dhabi. And I was visiting Abu Dhabi and you were just before moving to Vienna. And so we met.
Yes.
You invited us to your place.
Lunch. Yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah,
and
it
I enjoyed
lunch.
It another couple of times already.
Yes.
It's so good because I will be the first of your students, I will tell you.
No, I'm not that good.
I'm not a good cook. No, but you grew up, you once told me, like, it was so normal. You cooked from child on. Was there all
the
women
in your
kitchen?
My mother, my grandmother, they are, you're superb cooks, you know. Like, and you know, Omar's sister, he has one sister. They are five brothers and one sister, the elder, one of the eldest, she's one. And she's an amazing cook. Mm. And she lives in US, by the way. And she's an amazing cook. And then my mother-in-law cooks very well. And then one of Omar's sister-in-law, through which we got married, I'm telling you, that they lived in Karachi. Now she's an amazing cook. Mm. As well, amazing cook.
But you're amazing cook as well.
No, I've learned.
No, but
a lot
you have
with the time.
A completely different understanding for cooking.
Yeah, I think so. I saw my mother and grandmother, my aunt also. She's a great cook. You know, my mom's sister. She's also living in US. So she's,
and for me, it was like, out of the kitchen. It's my space. I need my quiet time and cook. So I didn't learn. I teach myself. Now I have a Thermomix.
Yes, it's automatic cooking. You just put the stuff in. I just told you, I cannot tolerate it.
No. You would upset. No, I don't. You tell me what I do.
I can't.
But you have the roti machine.
Yeah, the Rotimatic. Yeah, yes, this helps a lot.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's a huge machine.
It was a surprise gift from my husband on one of my birthdays in Abu Dhabi. He delivered it at home from Singapore, actually. And it was the sweetest gift. And obviously, I was always making rotis and parathas all by myself. And the Rotimatic was a lovely gift. Actually, we saw that Rotimatic, one of Omar's nephews was living before in Dubai. Mm-hmm. Now he is in Houston. So we saw that Rotimatic at his place and Omar was very impressed. And right away, after 2 months, my birthday was coming. And I still remember that. It was a complete surprise for me, by the way, because this Rotimatic is only available online from Singapore. Mm-hmm. So he ordered online. It's a huge thing. But yes, it's a wonderful gift.
And you use it a lot?
Yes, we did. We have whenever my husband wants to have rotis with the salans, whatever, I make the Pakistani cuisine. So, yeah.
And it's, I have to say here, because you don't know it, the listeners don't know it.
Yeah.
You just put flour, water, and salt?
Flour, water, and oil.
Oil.
A little bit of then olive oil or whatever oil you want to use.
Then it's...
Kneaded itself?
Yes.
And, yeah, and one by one they make
rotis. And cooking.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
One by one. It is amazing. Yes, it is. Yes.
Thank you so much. We will speak later or talk later as well, but thank you so much for being my guest here.
Thank you very much.
And I give you the last word. If you want to say something to the listeners, to remember, keep in mind.
Yeah. Okay. So as I said, as I have said before, the key to make friends, if you are living outside of your culture, any culture, if you are from Pakistan or from Afghanistan, even Dubai, even any part of Europe or even South Africa or America or anywhere else, the key is communication.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot put aside one or label one person if one is wearing hijab or covering his herself, that person must be illiterate and she cannot do anything. She is doing what she is told by the religion or by the... These labels should not be put on the people individually. And the key is communication. Talk to each other, talk with the people around you, living around you as a neighbor or if you meet people in someone's gathering or at the restaurant, and be kind to one another. Please be kind and respectful, you know. These are the three: communication, kindness, and respect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give respect, you will earn respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know that this is the main thing. So communication. Not assume someone's religion or someone's personality.
Mm-hmm.
Just communicate with them so you can get to know the person that behind that aura of yours. Specifically, I'm a Muslim. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm saying. So you can get to know the person, because nowadays, everything is on social media.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see on social media, there are many, many brilliant hijabi girls who are active in sports. They are swimmers. They are marathoners. They are professionals. Mm-hmm. They are everywhere. And one of Umar's nieces, she's Inab. Her name is Inab. She's very close to my heart. She's just like my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So she is a marathoner. You know, she is doing marathons, winning gold medals and everything. She did the Turkey marathon as well in Turkey. And she's married now, by the way. She's very young. But she's an inspiration in our family. So I'm just saying that Muslims do not abandon their girls or to study or not to do sports. This is a wrong concept. This is a misconception. Okay, this is, we are doing everything which in our ethical boundaries to let the girls grow. Mm-hmm. And this is what I am doing with my daughter as well. You know that she's doing international business and she is great in sports and you met her many times. So you can see and you can feel her personality as well. So yes, we are practicing Muslims, but we do everything which... healthy activities and everything which people around the world are doing, just communicate. Just don't make a wall around yourself that we should not talk to that person. This is what I'm saying. Yeah, communicate.
Very nice. Yeah. So we go outside and just smile at people.
Yes.
We can just smile at everybody.
Yes.
Just
yes.
Just maybe smiling. Even more, give a smile to somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. It looks different.
Yes, right? It looks different. When you smile, you just open the door for communication.
Yourself,
okay, that's another person is interested in talking to you or saying hi to you or hello to you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the key. But I have been, in that I say, alhamdulillah, I have been lucky in the sense that I have made great friends around me. And yes, sometimes I took a first step. But that's it. Then I don't have to, you know, work very hard on that when I, because I started talking that, oh, I'm from Pakistan. And one more thing, be proud of whatever country you belong to, because you should not forget your origin, you know, origin. You should not be, you know, should not feel complexed about it. Wherever you lived, you should be proud of your roots and proud of your country from which you belong to. With confidence. If the mother and the father is not confident then and complexed about it, then the children naturally be complexed about it. So I really work on that, me and my husband, that wherever we lived, where whatever passport we carry, you should be proud of your origin, that you are from Pakistan. And you are from a Muslim country, and these are your origin, this is your background. That's it. So be proud of from where you are and just communicate with kindness and respect. That's it.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Sobia, for being here, being my guest, and sharing so openly.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity to talk to you openly about this misconception and this issue. Thank you very much. Thank
You're
you very,
very
much,
welcome.
Community.
You're welcome.
Most
Thank
welcome.
You.
Thank you. Thank you.
In der Zwischenzeit ist bei der Sobia auch schon ganz viel passiert. Sie hat bei Instagram einen neuen Account angelegt und zeigt da ganz viele Fotos und Videos mit Dingen, die sie gebacken und gekocht hat. Es ist wirklich beeindruckend und ich kriege richtig Lust, dass sie damit bald anfängt, weil ich bin ganz, ganz sicher eine der Ersten, die bei ihr im Kurs sein wird, weil ich möchte auch lernen, mit was für einer Freude und Leichtigkeit sie kocht und backt. Ich finde das super toll. Den Link werde ich dir unten in den Shownotes natürlich auch verlinken. Genau, und wenn dich diese Folge berührt hat, inspiriert oder zum Nachdenken gebracht hat, dann teile sie mit einer Frau, wo du glaubst, dass sie die gerade braucht. Und wenn du möchtest, dass noch mehr Frauen ungeschminkt hören, dann hinterlass mir super gerne eine Bewertung. 5 Sternchen zum Beispiel auf Spotify oder bei Apple Podcasts machen einen riesigen Unterschied für mich. Und folge mir auch gerne auf Instagram @marianne.schnitzler. Dort geht dann auch das Gespräch weiter. Bis zur nächsten Folge. Bleib ungeschminkt. Alles Liebe, deine Marianne.